Genesis 41, verse number 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, and I love this, hath made me forget my toil and all of my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me, I love this, to be fruitful. Not just fruitful, but where? In the land of mine affliction. Turn over to the last chapter of the story of Joseph, the last chapter of Genesis, verse number 25. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. I want to quote one verse from Hebrews 11:26. And it says that by faith, Joseph, when he came down to die, our text made mention of his bones. And the Bible said that he did that by faith. And with that in mind tonight, from the life of Joseph, I want to preach on this subject, faith always wins. Now, not sometimes, not a few times, not several times, but faith always wins. I love the verses in the New Testament that summarizes the characters in the Old Testament. And if there is a New Testament verse that has Joseph written all over it, it's in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4, where the Apostle John says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I believe that is a Joseph verse. There are two words in that verse to me that have Joseph's name written all over it. The first word, and this is the victory. The word victory, I believe that Joseph lived a victorious life. No matter where life led him, or what hand life dealt him, Joseph was never a victim, but he was always a victor. He lived a life of victory. The second word in that text, and this is the victory that does what? Overcometh the world. That word, overcomer, is a Joseph word, because instead of being overcome, he was an overcomer. Instead of being overwhelmed by his circumstances, he was an overcomer. So Joseph experienced overcoming victory in his life. And notice what the Bible said. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, not his personality, not his looks, not his talent, not his ingenuity, not his ability, but his faith. And faith is the victory that overcometh the world. You say, now, what is faith in the life of a Christian? Well, what does the Bible say a believer does with faith? It says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Say that with me tonight. We walk by faith and not by sight. So faith in the life of a Christian is not living by what we see with our eye, but what God has said in His Word. Can I say that again? Faith in the life of a Christian is not living by what we see with our eye, but by what God has said in His Word. For I promise you this tonight, if you live by what you see with your eye, there will be no overcoming victory in your life or mine. That's what got Adam in trouble. He lived by what he saw with his eye. That's what got Elijah under the juniper tree. He lived by what he saw with his eye. That's what happened to Lot. He lived by what he saw with his eye. That's what happened to David. And that's what happened to Samson. That's why Simon Peter was distracted while he was walking on the water. He was living by what he could see with his eye. Can I promise you tonight, in this world in which we live in, we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't live by what it looks like. We don't live by what it smells like. We don't live by what it feels like. We don't live by what it sounds like. We live by what God has said in His Word. And not sometimes, not a few times, but faith always wins. And let me give you three places in the life of Joseph where faith always wins. Number one tonight, when life turns into disappointment, faith always wins. You say, now what do you mean disappointment? Well, when we first meet Joseph, he has a nickname. He is called Joseph the Dreamer. And let me say this tonight about Joseph's dreams. He didn't eat too much pizza and drink too much Coca-Cola and go to bed. That's indigestion. That's not a dream. The dreams that Joseph had were sovereign dreams. They were supernatural dreams. They were special dreams. They were sweet dreams. They were dreams that God had given him. Joseph's dreams were words from God. They were prophecies of God. They were predictions of God. They were promises of God. Dreams like, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to exalt you. Even though I found you in the plain, you are not destined to stay in the plain. I'm taking you to the palace. I have a throne for you. I have a ring for you. I have a crown for you. Joseph, you are going to the throne. But Joseph no more awakes from his sleep. He no more than wipes the sleep from his eyes. And he is not in a throne in Egypt. He is down in a pit begging for his life. Joseph no more than wipes the sleep from his eyes. He is not in the ivory palaces of Egypt. He is down in the dungeon begging for his life. Joseph wakes up from his dream. Why? Nobody's bowing down to him. He's bowing down to everybody else because he finds himself a slave in the house of Potiphar. Joseph wakes from his dreams. He's not on a throne. He's not in a palace. He is in an Egyptian prison, falsely accused for something that he didn't do. He dreamed about the throne. He dreamed about the palace. He dreamed about about the crown. He dreamed about the robe. He didn't dream about the pit. He didn't dream about Potiphar. He didn't dream about the prison. He didn't dream about being forsaken. He didn't dream about being framed. He didn't dream about being forgotten. You know what happened? Life turned to disappointment. It just didn't turn out like he thought it would, like he dreamed it would, because he found out in the real world there are disappointing places. But I've got good news for you tonight. When life turned into disappointment, faith always wins. Faith always wins. Because there's a phrase found over and over again in the life of Joseph, and it's this: and the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. You know what Joseph discovered? He discovered you can't go anywhere where God's not already been. You know what he discovered? You can't go anywhere where God is not already at. You know what Joseph discovered? He discovered that he is God above us, and he is God beneath us, and he is God before us, and he is God behind us, and he is God beside us, and he is God around us, and he is God with us, and he is God through us, and he is God for us. But we that live on this side of Pentecost knock it in another gear, and he's more than God above us, and God beneath us, and God before us, and God behind us, and God with us, and God around us, and God for us, and God through us. But he is God in us, to never leave and never forsake, because faith always wins. Someone said, I've never been disappointed. You just lied. You say, I've never been disappointed. You've never been married. You say, I've never been disappointed. You've never raised teenagers. A child can go to bed perfectly normal at 12 and wake up 13 crazier than a football bat. You said, I've never been disappointed. You've never had a mother-in-law. Someone said, Solomon's 900 wives turned him against God. It wasn't the 900 wives. It was the 900 that mother-in-laws that were with them 900 wives. And you say, I've never been disappointed. You never pastored a Baptist church. You say, I've never been disappointed. You never attended a Baptist church. You said, I have never been disappointed. Then you've never took your head out of a hole in the ground and lived in the real world. Because in this world in which we live, man, there is disappointment. Sometimes you're disappointed in your family. Sometimes you're disappointed in your friends. In fact, I stay disappointed at me more than I stay disappointed at anybody else. I can't even live up to my own expectations, much less the expectations of everybody around me. You'll get disappointed in your job and in your career and in your children and in your marriage and in your wealth and in your health. But somehow when life turns to disappointment, you look beyond what you can see and you look beyond what you can hear, and you turn your eyes upon Jesus, and you'll be reminded that he will never disappoint you. He's never disappoint you, and he's not going to start tonight, because faith always wins. When life turns to disappointment, faith always wins. Number two tonight, in the life of Joseph, when life tempts to defile, faith always wins. We come tonight to our text and we see Joseph. He is a slave down in the house of Potiphar. I believe through studying the Bible that Potiphar was a decent, moral man. Even though he's an Egyptian, even though he's a heathen, I believe basically he is a decent, moral, upstanding man. Oh, but his wife, woo, she's off the chain. I believe as John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, Potiphar's wife was the forerunner of Jezebel. Because you know what her problem was? She did not have Joseph's best interest in mind. May I say to every young person in this room tonight, your life will be crammed full of people who do not have your best interest in mind. The only interest she had in mind was to fulfill her own illicit desire. The only desire that she had, the only intention she had, was to ruin and steal the dream of Joseph. And from the day he walked in Potiphar's house, she set her eyes upon Joseph. And she would solicit Joseph. She would try to entice Joseph. Day after day, she's laying a trap. Joseph has an enemy. An enemy that would steal his dream. An enemy that would kill his influence. An enemy that would mar his character. But you remember this tonight, when there's an enemy snooping around your place, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith, when an enemy comes around your house that would steal your joy and wreck your family and mar your testimony, you remember this tonight, that greater it's he that is in you and he that is in the world. And faith always wins. And finally one day she propositioned him the final time. And he looked at her and said, no. No. And he told her three reasons why. Number one, you don't belong to me. You belong to my master. Number two, my master has been too good to me. And number three, I can't do this great sin and sin against my God. Oh, she caught him by the coat and he ran. But let me say this about Joseph. He may have lost his coat, but he kept his character. He may have lost his robe, but he kept his reputation. Man, he ran out of there. You say, what got Joseph out of that trap? It wasn't his looks. It wasn't his talent. It wasn't his ability. It wasn't his education. There's only one power that got him out of the jaws of hell. Faith always wins. Aren't you glad in this wicked world that would subdue us and steal our joy and wreck our family and mar our testimony? There's a power in us. All the power of faith, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. There's overcoming power through faith, because faith always wins. You know the story. She hollered, rape! And here came the soldiers. Him came her husband. She told them this lie. And the Bible said that Potiphar believed the words of his wife more than the words of Joseph. And you know, they put him in prison for over 2 years for something that he didn't do. But I believe when that door clanged shut behind him, a clank went off in his soul, he knew he didn't do it. He knew in his heart, he knew he was true, and God knew that he was true. Let me say a little something here, and maybe I won't kill everything too bad. I've said this, I believe this, I preach this, and I still preach this, and I still believe this, that it pays to serve God. Yeah. But let me preface that. In the long haul, it really pays to serve God. In the long haul, it really pays to do right. But can Brother Joe be honest with you? In the short term, in the right now world, it'll cost you to do right. Oh, it cost Joseph to do right. And if you stand for God and live a separated life and overcome sin in your life, it'll cost you in this life. It may cost you some friends. It may cost you some money. It may cost you some social standing. It may cost you some political affiliation. Oh, but let me say this tonight. Whatever minuscule price you and I may pay in the short term to do what's right, it's not a drop in the bucket to the price that Jesus paid when he bought your soul and mine at bloody Calvary. And if I might use a word from my friend Brother Paul, I'm persuaded that the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us, because faith always wins. I believe when you see Joseph and he's got the crown on his head and the robe on his shoulders engraved in gold is, do right, do right, do right. Faith always wins. When life turns to disappointment, when life tempts to defile, faith always wins. But I preached all night to get to my favorite point, number three. When life takes a detour, faith always wins. You say, what do you mean detour? I don't like detours. I'll tell you something else I don't like. I don't like slow drivers. Move. You say, well, Brother Arthur, I'm sightseeing. Looking at what? That body of water, that tree, that rock. It looks the same tonight as it did 9 years ago. Move. The world is dying and going to hell. Move. There are revivals to preach. There's food to eat. There's fish to catch. There's bambies to ambush. Move. Slow people get on my nerves. Get out of the way. If you don't like the way I drive, get off the sidewalk. Move. Do it yesterday. Move. I quit school because they had recess. I make coffee nervous. Move. Anybody here know the mountain preacher Hanley Milby from Kentucky? I was in a meeting with him one time in your state down in Tampa. And I flew to the meeting. He drove to the meeting. And he was my ride every night from the hotel to the camp meeting ground. Well, if you know anything about him, he's real quiet and slow. If you know me, I'm like, say something. Oh, I hate it when Miss Arthur, like, what's wrong, honey? Nothing. Turns on that big freeze. Come on now, baby. What is? Nothing. Just nothing. I'll tell you what I told her the other day in the fear of God. I said, if you're this upset over nothing, God forbid if something ever happens in this place. That's why she's at her mother's and I'm down here preaching this revival. So you hear me? Woo! So after about the second night, I mean, somebody got to say something in that car. Hang on, Melvin. I said, hallelujah, glory to God, Brother Melvin. Woo, hallelujah. I love Jesus, don't you? He went, I don't know if I do or not. Now, wait a minute. I just saw this man preach the night before with the Holy Ghost are dripping all over him, and tonight he don't even know if he loves Jesus or not. I said, explain yourself. I'll be glad to. He said, boy, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I don't do that sometimes. You say, what did you say after that? Nothing. Two more days, I just went. Man, I don't like slow. I don't like detours. Here's my philosophy of life. All gas, no brakes. But in the real world, detours. Let me illustrate it. Joseph is on the plane. God gives him this dream. Son, you're going to the throne. You're going to the palace. I've got a throne for you. I've got a crown for you. I've got a robe for you. Joseph, son, you're going from the plane to the palace. And common sense tells me the best way to get from your plane to the palace is just walk on over there and get your dream. And Joseph makes one or two steps toward the palace. And all of a sudden life takes a detour. And he's down in a pit begging for his life. But common sense tells me you survive the pit, crawl out of the pit and walk into the palace and claim your blessing. And he's trying to crawl out of the pit and get to the palace. And life takes another detour and he finds himself at Potiphar's. But common sense tells me you survive the Potiphar experience. Crawl out of Potiphar's house, son. Go on up to the palace and get your dream. And he claws his way out of Potiphar's house. And he makes one step to the palace. But life takes another detour. And he finds himself in a cold, dark Egyptian prison for something that he didn't do. It looks like he's never going to the palace. It looks like he's never going to the throne. It looks like he's never going to get his dream, because life's taking him around all of these detours. But as Paul Harvey says, page 2, here's the rest of the story. He got to the palace. He got to the throne. He got his ring. He got his robe. He got his crown. Cause faith always wins. You say, well, Brother Joe, I don't understand how life can take me here and here and here and here and way over yonder, and I still wind up where I'm supposed to be. How does that happen? I'm glad you ask. Amen. Because standing up on the main highway is a traffic angel. You say, who is ordering my steps? I'm glad you brought that up. The same one that had Abraham and Isaac in one hand and a ram in the other. The same one that knew that was a coin in the fish's mouth. The same one that knew that was a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes walking up down the shores of the Galilee. Can I say this tonight? We're not down on our luck. There is no such thing as luck. Our life is in the sovereign providence of an almighty God. And when life takes a detour, faith always wins. Because sometimes on the way to the palace, there are some detours. I love what the preacher said. He said it 4 times, if I count it right. I don't know about you tonight, but as I was listening to my friend Bo Wagner preach, I gathered pretty intently, he's not a hyper-Calvinist. He looked way too happy to be one of them. And if I believe what they believe, I'd be sad too. In fact, I'd be more than sad if I thought my little girl couldn't be saved. I'd be more than sad if I thought my little boy couldn't know God. I'd be more than sad. I'd lose my mind. I counted in your sermon. You said when he opened that adoption door, he wanted all them little boys and girls. He wanted all them little boys and girls. Hey, you know what happened to you when you got saved? You stepped into God's whosoever will, let him come. And I'm glad that's still God's salvation plan. And you know what? He predetermined that all them whosoever's that get in Christ are going to glory. And they're going to be like Jesus. He never did predetermine one of them little old boys couldn't be saved. He never did predetermine you got to die with that God and go to hell. But all he did predetermine was this. Those that get in Christ, they're going to the city. They're going to the throne. You say, preacher, do you know who's going to heaven? I sure do. Them that's in Christ, they're going. And man, I got on board when I got saved. And I'm headed to the palace. In fact, I'm as good if I was already there. Because John done see me in the number. Woo! That no man can number. But on my way, there's going to be some detours. Hit a detour by the hospital. Hit a detour by the funeral home. Hit a detour by bankruptcy. It may detour around an unfaithful mate. It may detour around a wayward child, an errant son or daughter. It may detour around a church split. It may detour around a physical, emotional, mental breakdown. But this is what I love about Joseph. After life took him by the pit, and after life took him by Potiphar's, and after life took him by the prison, praise God, he climbed the last hill, and he swam the last ocean, and he took the last detour, and just like God said, he strolled into the palace, and he got the crown, and he got the robe, and he got the ring, because faith always wins. So I don't understand how I can take all them detours and still wind up at my destination. Cause faith always wins. You two fellas right here, come in just a minute. Blue and red. Get down in the land of Egypt. Joseph has two boys. God blesses him with two sons. One on this side, he called him Forget It. Just forget it. Because boy, every time I look at you and I think how good God has been to give me a son like you, I look back and say, I just forget it. I look at that boy and I go, what pit? I look at that boy and say, Potiphar? Who's that? I look at that boy and say, prison? Ah. Oh. It wasn't all that bad. I know it's back there somewhere, but it just don't hurt anymore. It's like God's given me so much good, I can't hardly remember the bad. Oh, God wants to bring something in your life so precious to you, so real to you, so good to you. It causes you to say, what trouble, what trial, what pain. God's been better than good to me. But then he looks at that other boy. Name's him. Don't you ever forget it. Name's him, fruitful, blessed, over the bank, out the top, off the charts. And not just blessed, not just fruitful, but in the land of mine affliction. He said, son, every time I look at you, I say, you know what? I come out of this ordeal with more than I had in the beginning. Now I want to tell you, Edward Jones and E.F. Hutton ought to have a plan like that. The more you lose, the more you get. Can you imagine an investor? He's watching the tick. He's watching the tape. Lose, 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 lose. Another loss, another dead run. And before he can pop his Valium, the ticker comes back and says, but faith always wins. Faith always wins. God's been good to us. God's blessed us. He's caused us to forget. And he's gave us enough to praise him with through all eternity. Come back, boys. Hurry. And so Joseph, he comes down to die. He pulls them old boys close to him and said, now boys, I got to check out of here. I'm a dying. But give me my glasses. Oh, yeah. I need to tell you something. Way out yonder, I see it. You know what's going to happen? Lord's coming down there where y'all at. God's going to come down here and pay you a visit. He knows where Egypt is. And the good news is, when God comes down here, y'all leaving. Gone. Bye. I won't live to see it. But I don't want to miss out on it. So here's what you do. Woo! On your way out of town, you stop by that cemetery and pick up my bones. Because when we leave out of here, I'm a leaving too. Oh, you say, what has that got to do with us? He's about to come down here. And when he comes down here, we're going to be leaving. Whether alive or with the bones. And as we say goodbye to this world of sin and sorrow, we'll shout while passing through the air, singing, faith always wins. Man, I'm enjoying myself. Here we go. I'm done. He likes it. The first time we meet Joseph, he's all dressed up in a what? A coat of many colors. Taken from him by his brothers, ripped to shreds, dipped in the blood of the beast, and gave to his father in threads of terrible memory. Right? Oh, but the next time you see Joseph, he's going to be decked out again. But not in a robe of many colors, in one color, wedding royal white. Not given to him by his earthly father, but given to him by his heavenly father. And they will never take that one away and dip it in the blood of the beast because it's already been dipped in the blood of the Lamb. Woo! hands. Some are up in glory, shouting around the throne, decked out in his custom robe is Joseph. And I believe written on the inside in bloody letters, faith always wins. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I know this: faith always wins. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Let's stand together, Lord. We love you tonight. Lord, in spite of all the detours, the disappointments, help us to live by what you said, not by what we see. Lord, may we turn our eyes off of each other and off of our circumstances and turn our eyes upon Jesus and help us to walk by faith. Oh, may somebody find you among their detours tonight to be real and precious to their soul. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.